Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.
A budget for the next generation. George Osborne's 8th budget delivered a surprise boost for millennials, but how will it hit other age groups in the wallet? Welcome to The Money Show, the FT's most popular weekly podcast. I'm Claire Barrett, FT Money Editor, and I'll be giving you the inside track on this week's budget with the help of independent experts Raj Modi, Head of Pensions at PwC, Christine Ross, Head of Advice at Hartwoods, the wealth management firm, and Amesh Shah, Partner and Tax Specialist at Blick Rothenberg, the Chartered Accountants. On Wednesday, what was expected to be a fairly mediocre budget, tamed by political rows over the forthcoming EU referendum and a gloomier economic backdrop, contained some surprising good news, as well as a further £12 billion clampdown on tax evasion. Now, the standout measure of this budget was the introduction of the LISA, the lifetime ISA, for under 40s. Now, George Osborne said that young people shouldn't have to choose between saving for a house and saving for a pension. So, Christine, tell us how it will work.
Well, anybody who's not yet 40 will be able to save up to £4,000 a year until they're age 50. And if that's used to buy a house valued up to £450,000 or used as an alternative to a pension that they can draw tax-free from age 60, the government will contribute £1 for every £4 that somebody saves.
Wow, so up to £1,000 a year potentially for the under 40s.
That's right.
He's compared it to the US system of 401k. What did you make of that?
401k is a flexible savings plan, and really our old stakeholder pension that was introduced in 2001 was really supposed to emulate that. I think this is a really good flexible savings plan. People won't be concerned that their money is tied up and they can't get hold of it. There is a good bonus that I think is a better word than tax relief. We're not talking about tax bans, tax rates, contribution levels. We've got something very, very simple and clear. And hopefully people will have faith that they can save in it with cash deposits at a bank or investing in stocks and shares.
Now, Raj, I'm going to bring you in here. Your instant reaction as we were watching the budget was that this is a toe in the water for the pensions ISA, the radical reform to the pension system that George Osborne was forced to put on ice.
That's right. When you look at the features of the lifetime ISA or the LISA, you can see that effectively he's achieved pensions reform without touching the pension system. He's done it through the ISA back door. I like the feature that you can draw down on these funds now for life events such as house purchases. He's already indicated they might include other life events that qualify to allow you to draw down on the funds without penalty in the future. And he's exploring, as we've discussed, parallels to the 401k system, things like borrowing against your LISA funds in order to stop spending them there and then. So I think effectively it's the strongest clue yet that we may still get wider pensions reform that looks like a pensions ISA in due course.
So are there any downsides to this policy, Nimesh?
Well, it seems all very positive to start off with on initial reaction. The general public seem to understand ISAs better than pensions in general anyway, and there has been a sweep towards ISAs, and that can be said by the increase in the ISA allowance as well that was announced today.
Yes, the annual allowance is to go up from £15,000 a year to £20,000, which is good news for private investors everywhere. Now, let's talk next about capital gains tax changes. A mixed bag here. Nimesh, talk us through the changes.
It was a huge package of CGT reforms that were announced by the Chancellor today. The headline that stands out is really the reduction of the CGT rate from 28% to 20% for higher rate taxpayers, and from 18% to 10% for basic rate taxpayers. So it is a tax reduction. However, he said that reduction won't apply to gains on residential properties, which is in keeping with the recent measures that have been introduced on the taxation of residential properties. And also for the private equity community, it won't apply to carried interest gains, again, where we've seen lots of changes in the last 12 months.
So if you work for a hedge firm or a private equity firm, probably not very good news for you. If you're a buy-to-let landlord thinking that you could get away with selling your property at a reduced rate of CGT, also bad news for you. Now, Christine, you've been looking at the detail for buy-to-let landlords. This is of the legislation that George Osborne trailed at his last appearance.
At the autumn statement, the Chancellor announced an additional 3% stamp duty on purchases of additional properties. That covers buy-to-let landlords or anybody that has a holiday home, any home in addition to your main residence. There was a lot of anomaly in the detail, and they've come back and said that if you are moving from one main residence to another and you already have a second home, be it a buy-to-let or a holiday home, then you're going to have 36 months now, up from the original 18 months, during which time you can effectively get a refund on the surcharge. There is a cash flow implication there, but that's good news. There's also some changes that will help people who are separated and divorcing. There'll be treated as two separate units now, so there won't be effectively an unfair taxation or surcharge for those people in those circumstances where temporarily they own additional properties.
And also those who inherit a property because a relative has died.
That's right. If somebody inherits 50% or less of a single property, they will have 36 months to dispose of that. They won't then, if they were buying some other property or moving at the time, have a surcharge on their purchase just by virtue of the fact they'd received that inheritance of a property.
But bad news for bigger landlords, those who've got 15 properties or more who thought that they could get out of the higher rate of stamp duty.
No, it was mooted when this announcement was made back in the autumn statement that there would be an exemption from the additional 3% stamp duty for larger scale investors, those that would be purchasing 15 properties or more. It looks like now, with the detail that we've now seen, that that's not going to go ahead. So the additional 3% seems to apply there.
And Christine, finally, the Chancellor was widely expected to clamp down on salary sacrifice at this budget, but he stopped short.
It seems that employers providing benefits, which do have a saving for the individual and the employer on national insurance contributions and potentially some tax savings, also won't be changed as long as they relate primarily to pension saving and health benefits, childcare. I would imagine retail vouchers and other things may still be affected, and we have to see the detail for that. But generally, cycle to work schemes, providing for private medical insurance, those sorts of things are still going to attract the same level of benefit.
So you're safe for now. Well, that wraps up our budget discussion. Thanks very much to Raj, Christine and Amesh for joining us in the FT studio today to react so swiftly to these issues. You can read more about the FT's coverage of the budget and how it will affect your finances on our website, ft.com/money. Follow us on Twitter at ftmoney for the latest updates as more of the hidden details emerge. And this weekend, you can read a comprehensive analysis of the budget changes and what action you may need to take in FT Money, part of the Weekend FT, widely available on both Saturday and Sunday, or read online, ft.com/money. Catch up with what FT Money columnists Merrin Somerset-Webb and Jason Butler, the wealth man, have to say about the Chancellor's performance, plus all the week's financial news, director's deals and share tips from the Investors Chronicle. Any questions about how the budget has affected your finances? Email us, our address, money@ft.com, or tweet us at FT Money. The Money Show is produced and edited in London by Martin Starb. We will be back next week, but for now, it's goodbye from me, Raj, Christine and Amesh. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, you might like to try our FT Politics show, which is presented by me, Sebastian Payne, the FT's digital comment editor. Each week, I discuss the latest developments in British politics with the FT's political commentators and correspondents. You can find the latest episode at ft.com/podcasts every Saturday.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.
Day morning.